Hello, welcome this beautiful, gorgeous, allergy, pollen-filled morning. Welcome to Moms Talk Autism. Shannon and I are going to sniffle our way through this episode, so stay tuned.
When you become a mom, you never imagine your child getting an autism diagnosis. It feels like your dreams have shattered, like a framed photograph falling off your mantle, exploding into a thousand pieces. But instead of trying to glue those pieces back together, this community of moms is here to help you build a new dream, a better one. So join in the conversation as us moms talk autism.
All right. Like I said, we are in the throes of allergy season. I'm assuming you are too, wherever you live. And we're just going to wipe our tear-streaked faces, not because we're crying, but just because the pollen is thick. Yeah. I'm very itchy today. So, yeah, we are here. It's Brittany. Hello. And Shani Shan. We are here chatting today about an ongoing conversation. So last week, Tosh and I were able to sit down and talk about help and asking for help and all the different dynamics that are wrapped up in those three words, asking for help. That's three words, three. And we want to continue that conversation with Shannon here today. And then next week, I hope I'm setting myself up for success when I am predicting the future here. Next week, we're going to have Jean on to talk about it as well. So, the idea is that asking for help is really, really hard. And I've kind of broken it down into four main areas that are difficult, like challenges in asking for help. And Shannon has not listened to Tosh and I's conversation on purpose. We wanted her to kind of come in with fresh ears and a fresh perspective. And we want to relate this to her particular situation. I can jump in with some of my stuff too, a little bit, just like I did with Tosh. But we're going to kind of go through this in real time. So you actually have more information, listener, than Shannon does right now. So,
oh my gosh, I feel so vulnerable.
Lucky you. It's good for you. It's so good for you. We'll talk about why that is here in a minute. So there's four main points. And as we're going along, Shannon, if there are other things in particular that maybe aren't falling within these categories, feel free to jump in. Like, we want to talk about maybe, you know, your experiences in particular with asking for help, receiving help, what holds you back from letting people in to help you with Gracie, etc. So the first one that Tosh and I talked about last week was about there's a guilt factor or a fear of missing out. And this can, well, first of all, what does that mean to you? If I say fear of missing out in relation to being a mother, whether that's neurodivergent or neurotypical parenting, what does that mean for you? Is there any connection to that? Does that resonate?
No. Are you going to give me like direction? Like,
fear
of missing out on what? Like
experiences with your child.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think parenting Gracie is very different than parenting Maya was. So there are many, many experiences that I was able to have with Maya that I will never have with Gracie. So obviously, you know, there's definitely some of that going on.
Mm-hmm. Some regret, some guilt with that?
I don't know if it's so much guilt because mm-hmm. I don't think Gracie knows what she's missing out on.
Right.
I think it's grief for me more than it is guilt.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about in relation to Maya? I mean, I know that there's things, we've talked about them recently, that you're missing out on with Maya because Gracie needs more support.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Maya has had to step up. And, you know, I think all of our kids, our neurotypical kids, sort of have to grow up a little bit faster. I think that I have a benefit of a 9-year age gap. So,
yes, of course.
You know, when we really started to get into the thick of the diagnosis with Gracie, because I mean, at 2 years old, our life didn't look that different. Like, yeah, we had therapists coming into the house, but like life itself didn't look super different. It's more as Gracie got older, I think, that things became more time consuming and things looked a lot more different. So like, I do have the benefit of that age gap where Maya was old enough. She was more mature, very understanding about the circumstances. But I definitely like, you know, I wish I could be at every single track meet. I wish I could be, you know, front and center for 6 hours at a track meet on a Saturday, you know, and if I don't have coverage, that's just not something that can happen. Gracie's not, you know, the kiddo who can tag along for 6 hours and sit on bleachers watch people run in a circle all day. So,
and at this point, you know, Maya's a senior, like, I'm sure those first few track meets, it was a lot more difficult, right? Like, or those first experiences of some of these things. You've had some time, you've had some experiences under your belt. Now, Tosh and I talked about this too. It's a muscle, like we build it up, right?
Yeah.
We get better at this, and we don't let that guilt or that regret overwhelm us as quickly maybe now, but it is there. I know that for me, missing out, I have four children, so it's even, there's just a lot of different directions and a lot and vies for my attention, right? And not that everyone's being so demanding of it or they're being unreasonably,
you're just
like
severely outnumbered.
I am yes. And once again, I've asked this question before, who thought this was a good idea? I just the answer is me, but clearly I was I don't know what I was thinking. So I do not like being outnumbered, and I did this to myself. Thank you very much. But yeah, it really is. It's a juggling act of, okay, how much time and attention should I give to this particular individual because they're struggling with this particular thing, or they have this extracurricular activity that I know is important to them and I want to go support, versus, you know, this child is having a really, really tough time right now because this happened at school. So I need to give them some extra love, you know, or, and then you throw in a spouse in the mix, which is a whole other thing.
That's
and
a whole
then your
episode.
Own needs. And then, oh, my cousin's getting married 2 hours away. There's that kind of missing out too. Like, we can't make those kinds of social obligations most of the time, almost never, because it's so logistically difficult. And so we just don't. And asking for help in those situations or finding outside, you know, care or support can make some of those things possible. But you have to be willing to do that and put forth the effort to make that happen. And Shannon's smirking and like making a lot of faces right now as I'm saying this. She's like, yeah, I know. This is hitting. I know I'm getting you now.
Yeah.
So, that part of it right there, right? Some of those more maybe extended family or friendship obligations outside of your family, those kinds of things that we're missing out on, that kind of dovetails into the next point, which is about control. And I think this is the one, if I had to guess, for all four of us, is probably one of the biggest. It's the struggle for control. And as parents, we're already sacrificing control. We want a break, right? We want to go to the cousin's wedding. We want to go to the track meet. We want to go whatever. But we struggle to find a moment where we feel comfortable letting go, or feeling not even comfortable, but I guess comfortable is, if you think of a better word, let me know. But like, where you feel enough peace or enough like, okay, it's going to be fine. I can step back for 2 hours.
Do you want
to
know the trick to that?
Tell me.
The trick to that is 2 to 3 margaritas.
Well, that doesn't work for me.
I know.
But how do you get to the restaurant to get those margaritas first? Like, you have to let go even then, because you know, obviously you're not drinking before you get there.
I mean, I'm just
Well, we hope you guys aren't. We wouldn't. But that's the key, right? And that's where experience comes in. But it's a struggle for control, and it varies from person to person. Your personality has some factors involved, your situation, the support you have available, the amount of times you've allowed yourself to do something like this, practice, right? All of those things factor into your struggle to let go and to give that the responsibility, that control to someone else, even if it's a spouse or a sibling or, you know, another child. So speak on that a little bit, if you can. Tell me about where do you struggle? How often do you ask for help? How often do you relinquish that control? She's already smirking as I'm saying this.
Well, I'm wondering, because I have my answer in my head, but I wonder if you're going to call me out and tell me that I'm
wrong. I 100% am going to call you out
Well, you know how it is, see things a certain way, but then those from the outside see it a different way, right?
That's why we're having this conversation today. Welcome to Therapy with Shannon.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, when it comes to relinquishing control, I am fantastic at that with a select few people. If I'm leaving Gracie with Jay, with Maya, or with my cousin Heather, all bets are off. I can walk away from the house. I can know everything's going to be taken care of, and I don't worry about it in any way, shape, or form, because they are all very capable humans. My husband's a paramedic. That's a plus. I don't worry with those people. My struggle is that I am capped at those humans, and I don't allow other humans in because I don't trust them. And if you're one of those humans, hear me out here. It's not that I think you're a terrible person and I don't trust you, but one, you don't have the experience, right? You haven't done it enough. And it isn't, I mean, I think maybe it's getting a little bit easier as Gracie gets a little bit older. She's understanding boundaries a little bit more now, which is a good thing. And I am very protective of who I let into this home with Gracie. And that is where my weakness is that if those humans are not available, it's not going to happen, basically. It also means Jay and I don't do a lot of stuff outside of the house together as a couple. Like, I'm the one going to track meets so that Jay can be home with Gracie, right? Because Gracie can't make it through 6 hours. We very rarely take trips because we don't have someone who can come and stay at our house for 5 or 6 days. Because everybody in my family still work. Like, I don't have parents who are retired. Both of my parents still work full time. Yeah. While we are privileged, I do think my family is privileged. We live in a beautiful neighborhood. We have a beautiful home. We are not privileged at a point where we can pay a human to come in and stay, or I can't ask my family to take a week off of work to come and stay with Gracie. Like, we're not in a demographic that can accomplish that, right?
Right.
So that's really hard. And when I think about it, it makes me sad, because I was thinking about it. Jay and I will be married for 10 years this year. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And as of right now, we're not going on an anniversary trip, because the only person that could watch Gracie for a significant period of time is Maya, and Maya's going to be in college in September.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's if we do decide to go on a trip, it's going to have to be on a break where Maya doesn't have classes, because my other humans in my life, my cousin Heather, who's freaking amazing, she has her own daughter and her own family, and she works every day, right?
Yeah.
So normal people rely on paychecks, right? That's just a thing. So those types of things make me sad. Those types of things are hard. I've sought out respite. I've sought out things like that. But again, it just boils down to hashtag respite's a joke. It's impossible to find somebody who's good, who you trust with your child, who is going to stick around.
Okay. So that's where the struggle for control is coming in for you, because you're very, very, and rightly so. I am not, this is not a criticism, but you are very, very particular. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to just let anybody watch her, as any of us wouldn't, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because of the extra need and care and support that she needs.
Well, and the fact that she's still considered non-speaking, she's not going to tell me if something happens while I'm gone.
Yes. Yeah. So I want to circle back. Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right. Yes. I have the same issue and sticking points, right? With my, with Austin in particular. But I think it's very interesting. You have your solid team, right? Mm-hmm. You've got Maya, you've got your cousin, you've got Jay. And there's going to be a significant decrease in that because Maya's heading off to college soon. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a shift for you guys. So now you're down. You're down to two of three, right? And both of those people work full time and they have their own things and stuff like that. And you work full time.
Yeah.
You're going to have to open yourself up. You're going to have to relinquish some of that control and bring in a quote outside person. You're working on that right now. Mm-hmm. And we're laughing about it, but even that little chuckle right there, it probably felt a little uncomfortable for me to say that to you. Like it didn't feel
great. Oh no, I was like, that's what you think, Brittany. That's what I was thinking inside of my head.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't want to do it.
Well, we've talked, right? And I have a girl who lives down the street. She's a neighbor's daughter. She's extremely sweet. And we've done a test run, just like a quick, we left for an hour test run. Are you comfortable with Gracie? Is Gracie comfortable with you? I'm watching you on the cameras. I hope that you know that, you know, that whole vibe.
Heavy video surveillance at the Corza household. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Retired law enforcement. We have
it's just how it is.
In the bathrooms or anything creepy, but no. But yeah. And, but again, it does boil down to the fact that babysitters now are really, really expensive. So if we are going to be paying a babysitter, it's not going to be often. Right? Like it's going to be something that is very well planned. And I know that that is something that a lot of our community can probably understand too. It's like you're paying 15 and 16 year old kids, you know, $15 an hour to hang with your kids. And while I'm more than happy to do that, if it's somebody that I feel like I can trust and that has Gracie's best interest in mind, it adds up very, very quickly.
Yeah, there is the financial component to it, 100%. Yeah. But also that part that you just said, if I feel comfortable or if I feel like they're responsible enough for me to leave them with them, right? I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but yes. But there has to be a level where you have to be accepting of this person and relinquishing that control, even if it's just for an hour or two. You're just going down the street, going out to dinner, whatever.
Yeah.
That's the part that's so hard for so many of us to let go. And we all have, I really sincerely hope you at least have two or three or one person in your life that you can pass the baton to, right? When you need a break or you need to go to the doctor or you need to whatever.
Can we also talk about the fact that a family of a typical child, like I look at my friends who have kids that are like Gracie's age, and they can get a recommendation from a friend about a babysitter, book the babysitter, have them come over and go out to dinner. Okay.
Done. Yeah.
We first talked to her parents, then her parents brought her to our house and we had another hour and a half long conversation together where she met Gracie. Then she and I had multiple text exchanges. Then she came to my house and we hung out and chatted for a half hour before I left for an hour.
Yeah.
Now we're at the point where I might be able to hire her for a 2-hour dinner, right? So like the way that it looks is very different.
And that, my friends, is called neurodivergent parenting. That is what that is. That is the level of, I don't want to say control because we're trying to
caution.
Yeah. The level of caution, the level of care, the level of attention that is required in a lot of cases of kids.
I mean,
with
we're
autism.
Talking 4 to 5 like meetings before something is scheduled.
And some of that is very, I mean, it is critical and necessary in order for that person, that caregiver, to give the adequate support that's needed to keep Gracie safe. mm-hmm. and happy. Safety, mm-hmm. number one, right? And then have a positive experience. Mm-hmm. And then some of that, wrapped up in all of that somewhere, is our own issues of, okay, I'm going to let this other person take the wheel for a minute. Yeah. And I need to feel comfortable enough to let them do that. And these are the steps that I have to do in order to make that happen. It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting, right?
It is. But I think too, there's some people who do it much easier than yes. other people. Like I think, and absolutely. I think it boils down also to like our personal experiences and like, what did our childhood look like? And I have always known that I was going to be a little over the top as a mother.
Because you of never.
My personal experience as a child. Right. And then I think when you add in the vulnerability of our kids, you know, with the diagnosis is that they have, it's just a little bit.
And that's the third point, actually. That's the third part of it, that responsibility that we feel because mm-hmm. our children are more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. All children are vulnerable when they're itty bitty babies, right? Like,
yeah,
we all experience that as mothers. Mm-hmm. But at some point, there is a natural progression, a natural maturity. They grow, they learn, there's an independence that comes. Some kids are better at it than others. Some kids develop it faster or slower. But typically, there is a progression. And our mm-hmm. kids progress too. You know, all of our kids with autism, there's progression. But mm-hmm. it takes on a very, very different track. It is not the stereotypical, you know, way, physically, mentally, communication, any of those areas. It's going to go in bursts. There's going to be some parts of their lives where they're always going to be vulnerable. That's just the nature of being divergent and having a different mindset, a different way that your brain works, right? They need extra care. And so there's a responsibility and a layer of a vulnerability that is always going to be with them. And we feel, mm-hmm. as a parent, we feel very, very responsible for that. And that's another part that really, that control can really, that struggle for control can really kind of mess with us, right? None of us want to be a helicopter parent. None of us want to parent like this. Like, this is not an active, like, rebel choice. We're just like loving this, like, level that we have to do this, to keep these kids safe and comfortable and happy. But it's just really necessary. And the responsibility can be very, very heavy at times.
Yeah.
It can weigh you down. And then that can cycle through, and then you just don't even want to try.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I know.
It's like, why bother?
Why bother? Yeah. This is too hard. It's mm-hmm. too overwhelming. If I'm overwhelmed doing this and I love this child more than anyone else in the world, how is Susie down the street going to, you know, how are they going to handle this? They're not, mm-hmm. they're not going to be able to do it. So why bother? Yeah. It's just easier to stay home. Mm-hmm. And watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Or it's their turnover, right? Which is why we've given up on respite. It's like there's not even a point in trying to get respite. Like,
it is difficult. Yeah. The turnover, like through a professional company or
yeah.
somebody like that. Yeah. It really, I have also had experiences with respite. We've tried having professionals come in that the respite company will recommend. We come out, we vet them. Like, it's not like we just leave immediately or anything. Like, you have those conversations, like you were saying, and you test it out. But even then, it's the turnover rate is so high. That's also a problem with therapists and like teachers and just, you know, the education of kids too. It's the turnover for autism related services is really, really high. And so it makes it difficult to make progress sometimes, or to feel like it's even worth it to try. So,
yeah, agreed.
Oh, okay. Well, let's try to, we'll lighten things up here in a minute. The last point that I know, I mentioned this to Tosh and I'll mention this to you. This isn't as big of a deal now for a lot of us because we've had enough rounds under our belt, right? Like, we're not new moms to this this kind of thing. But the fear of judgment can be very, very strong. And I if you can kind of think back, as I'm kind of describing this to the audience, think back to you as a new mom, maybe newly diagnosed, or, you know, Maya or Gracie versus now, and public, you know, public displays of the tantrums, or like situations that you will not put Gracie in, because not necessarily because you're afraid of judgment, but you know that it's going to be a difficult experience for her. It's in public, things like that. And then if you've had any, you know, positive or negative experiences that you could maybe relate to us where that's maybe come up, I'd love to hear about some of those. And I have some too. So, but yeah, it's a fear of judgment. It's, we don't want, no one wants to be seen as incapable or incompetent. Like, number one, mm-hmm. like no one wants that.
Well, and I think it's misunderstood, right? Because yes. like there is a reason that our kids are acting the way that they're acting, and the outside public doesn't know that or understand that. And that's what makes it so difficult, because looking at Gracie, you wouldn't know that she was autistic, right? Which we've talked about in multiple episodes before. So it's that, it's, you know, the fear of just being judged because the situation is being misunderstood. And I do remember feeling that way when Gracie was younger. I would say probably like 3-4. Because before that, she was so little and tiny that it wasn't a big deal, right? Like every
well, it's
little
a lot
one,
of toddlers.
Yeah, it's not
yeah,
a big
it's
deal.
It's similar but, behavior, right?
Yeah. And I mean, there were times I would have to literally throw Gracie over my shoulder and firemen carry her out of a, you know, place or something like that when she was younger. It doesn't happen as much anymore, which I mean, thank God, because if it does happen, she's huge and very strong now. So that can present a problem. But I just got to a point where I'm trying to keep this not explicit. There was a point where I was just like, I don't give a crap anymore what you think.
Do you, because was there a particular like incident that happened, or was it just like phase of life?
Yeah, I think it was just a phase of life, and I just don't care. Like, I am wrapped up enough in the situation that I am in, ensuring that my child is safe and well taken care of. And if you don't get it, that's your problem. And you can whisper to your sister at Target about the misbehaving child if you want to. Like, that's a reflection of you. That's not a reflection of me. And I just can't carry it anymore. Like, I can't carry what other people think anymore. Like, this life is heavy enough to carry. I don't need to also carry their judgment. So
right.
I think it's one of those things that you grow into, and you have to reach that point. And I think of it kind of like, you know, Maya is 18 now. And when you're young, you care so much about what other people think of you. And I think about when I hit like my 30s and I just didn't give a crap anymore. And like how much better my life was. And like my goal is to get Maya there before she turns 30. Like, how do I get Maya there even just like 2 years, you know, earlier than it took me to get there? That's, I feel like I had to learn that again as a parent to Gracie, where it's like, you have to get to that point where you just don't care anymore. And if you are not mature enough, and I mean, you like, you know, the sassy Karen in Target, like if you are not mature enough to understand that there's more things going on in this world than what you're looking at, that's a you problem. Like that's not a me problem, you know? And Gracie will always be my main focus in situations like that. Like, I think you understand, especially with Austin, because Austin is big, right? Yeah. Where those moments happen now. And like, my eyesight is now completely, like, I have no peripheral vision anymore. It is laser focused on the situation at hand. It is like a pin of light, and there is Gracie, and there are blinders. And I really don't see anything else. It is like, we're in this situation. You are my priority. How do we fix this situation? And I thank God that I'm there now, because that is one thing that's maybe gotten easier in this life that we live, is when you learn how to let go of other people's thoughts and expectations.
That's a huge positive thing, because you are confident in yourself and in your parenting, And it gives you a level of competence and security in yourself. So there is that aspect of it. And I also think that it's a maturity thing, right? But it's there's a lot of layers to it. Now, I want to say, though, that in your particular situation, that doesn't mean that you just feel like you're just going to take Gracie wherever in public and be like, whatever, I don't care what anyone thinks. Mm-hmm. Like, when's the last time you took Gracie to a restaurant, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. You know, I was actually thinking about that this morning. It's so funny that you said that, because I was having thoughts about that this morning. It's like, oh, my gosh, we need to go to a restaurant
again. This is how in tune you and I are.
Yeah, right? Maybe it's because we watched the same thing on television. Maybe that's
it's
why.
True. We'll talk about that later.
But, but I thought about that. But I also view things very differently now than I used to. I used to feel a lot of guilt for not taking Gracie into certain situations. Fear because it's what normal kids did.
Right.
I now sit back and think, I know Gracie better than anybody. Does she even want to go there? Is this something she even wants to be a part of? Is she intrigued at all in this? And if the answer is no, then why? Like, why am I going to put her in a position where she is? Especially if it's something I'm doing for joy, right? Like, does she like going to the doctor? No. Does she still have to go to the doctor? Yes. Right? Like, there are necessary evils that whether you want to be in that position or not, you have to go. But if Gracie doesn't
And those are the enjoy, ones where we're like, if she's having a hard time at the doctor, you have to be there. This is necessary. You're like, so what? Peace.
Sorry.
No. Yeah, I can glare right back at you, lady. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a restaurant or something for joy, yeah.
Yeah, like if it's supposed to be a fun experience and it is not going to be fun for her, then I'm not going to require her to be a part of it if it's not something that she enjoys, right? And I think that has taken some guilt out of my parenting because I used to worry so much about, you know, well, if she was neurotypical, she'd go.
Right.
Well, Maya went.
Right.
Right? And like, it's
so
just,
I guess that's the other part is you have to be in tune with your kid, but you want to give them new experiences too. Mm-hmm. How do we know if Gracie doesn't want to do that or does mm-hmm. want to do that? Like, there is that aspect where we have to use our judgment, right?
Yeah.
And
or
use that.
You do it and you try it, but you do it with reinforcements, right? So like a brand new experience, Gracie's first soccer practice, mm-hmm. it was Gracie, Mommy, Daddy, and Maya.
There were
four of us. We were going to corral her if we needed to, right? Like, it is a brand new experience she's never been a part of. Let's have some support there. And I am not ignorant enough to know that not everybody has that ability. Also, my husband, we got lucky. He works 24-hour shifts. He happened to be home, right, for that, which we would have had to go otherwise, regardless. But I think when you are trying those new things, you know, do it in a way that you feel supported if you're worried it could go squirrely. Right.
And you once know. Again, that requires extra effort on your part. It requires
preparation.
It's not spontaneous. No. Yeah, all those things. But we have to be willing to try sometimes. You have to be willing. You can't just stay in your house all day with your kid. You can't just do those things. And I am speaking 100% to myself when I say this, everyone. This is not just for you. It's not like I'm not preaching from up on high.
I think you and I are very similar in the fact that like we also gauge like stress levels in situations of like
very much.
Okay, this situation is like a 3. Cool. This situation is like a 7. So do we really need to do the 7 or do we have someone there to help with the 7, you know? And I think one of the things that I love about Doug is just like, we're taking Austin. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do it.
And
I don't
he
care.
Just makes it happen and he keeps his cool. And so I strive to be a little bit more like Doug, but I'm just a little more
like
I don't
me?
Feel like I don't feel like I used to be this like I don't like I didn't used to be I don't want to call myself high strung. I don't know that high strung is the label I'm looking for. I used to be much more go with the flow. And I'm like, what happened? So I aspire to be a little bit more like Douglas Crabtree, for sure.
We all should strive to be a little bit more like Doug. I think that is a good mantra for the world in general. Mm-hmm. He's an amazing person. But
Doug,
yes.
Doug.
We have a song for Doug that we did not make up, but it's a good one.
No, we're not original enough for that.
But yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to, little confession time with Brittany here. I struggle with this. I struggle with taking Austin into public places and feeling comfortable doing so.
Understandably.
It is understandable. There is a real safety aspect to it. Safety for not only him, but for everyone around Austin. It is.
And you.
And me. And I am one of those people around him. Yes. Like, it's including me. There is an aggression, violence, and then just general safety of keeping him away from dangers in the great wide world that I have to factor in. And it is very, very real. And we have had these experiences in our lives where we've had some real problems, and it's been dangerous. And so this is not like some phantom fears that I have made up in my mind because I'm an anxious person. I am an anxious person. I am a highly anxious person, but we've actually had these things happen. So it's very, very real, and it's very scary. And I manifest it by being very, very cautious where I take him. And I will not go almost anywhere without some support, another person with me who can physically help me with Austin if we enter a situation where he needs to be removed, or
you need another set of hands.
At least one set. But yeah, it's very, very hard. I feel comfortable taking him on car rides most of the time by myself. Sometimes not even then, because he can become violent in the vehicle and he will try to physically harm me. And then I am in a situation where we're being very unsafe because I am driving the vehicle. And if someone's trying to hit you while you're driving, I just wouldn't recommend. Not great. You know, zero stars for that. So don't do it. But you know, sometimes that's the only outlet I have, and so I have to take that risk. And then some parks I can feel comfortable taking him to. I have to literally drive by the park and make sure that there's not too many people there. And by too many people, I mean more than like three, like very low number of people. It has to be quiet. It has to not be near any busy roads or a body of water. We limit ourselves even on the outside spaces I can take him to, because I need to be able to keep him safe and other people, like I've said. So it's a real struggle for that. And then I feel more comfortable taking him to maybe a handful of other places with Doug with me, or one of my older boys, and they can help as well. It is difficult for me. It's not difficult for me to ask Doug. Doug is always down, like we said, and he's Austin's dad, and he will do those things with me. But I feel guilty sometimes. I feel bad asking my boys to help out. I know you feel bad asking Maya to help as much as you want them to be able to have experiences and have their own lives and not feel maybe the burden of care that sometimes we feel. It's hard. It's hard to balance that out, and you don't ever want them to feel resentful. Not that any of our children would ever admit that to us, because they're very sweet and they see how hard it is. I have found, I don't know if you could speak on this or if you feel comfortable speaking on this, but I have found that my boys don't ask me for a lot of things, and they don't want to burden me with their problems, because they see how much I am struggling with Austin and or Ruby or whatever is happening in our lives, right? And so they just don't share when they're struggling or when they're having a problem or they need something, because they
don't
feel guilty.
Don't want to put more on your plate.
They don't want to put more on my plate. And that just breaks my heart, right? Mm-hmm. But But yeah, go ahead. I mean, do you have that happening with Maya for you? I mean, it certainly happens.
Yeah, it'll be like something as simple as I was at her track meet the other day and she, I don't remember how it came up, but it was almost like she felt like she was inconveniencing me because I was there.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like I want to be here. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
I'm here because I want to be here. This is good for me. I love this, right? Like, it's not just another thing on my plate. It's not like, okay, now mommy has to go to your track meet, right? Like, no, this is somewhere where I want to be. And I think one of the biggest things that we can teach our other kiddos, I almost said older kiddos, but that's just in my situation, is self-advocacy. Like, you have to be okay telling people what you need.
That is excellent advice for you to give to your child and for you to give to yourself, Shannon.
I know, right? Well, and that's another Brittany. Thing that I think we should kind of talk about, and I am terrible at this, and that is asking for help in your own home.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Because I think it's very easy for us. Moms shoulder a lot of the mental load, the requirements that need to be met within the household. And I feel like I can only speak for myself here. I will go through phases of, I shouldn't have to ask you for help. It is very obvious that there's 9 million things moving right now. And I'm friggin' a circus act spinning 19 plates in the air on those sticks, but I only have two hands. So could you maybe jump in here without me asking, right? Like,
yeah,
I will find myself.
In that exact tone. That was perfect.
In that exact tone. and I have come to realize that if you do not ask for help, not everyone realizes there's so many plates in the air.
Yeah.
In your own home also.
Yeah.
And not asking for the help that you need leads to building resentment. And quite frankly, our lives are hard enough that we can't have that in our house on top of everything.
I don't need it. No, I don't need that.
And resentment is heavy and it hurts, and it hurts every person in your house when you start to feel it. And I have gotten into those positions, you know, before, and I've been trying to be very cautious. And something happened yesterday, in fact, without going into a lot of detail. And my first instinct was I was pissed. I was real frustrated, and I had to sit back and just say, like, look at this for what it is. Like, look at this for what it is. It's not a big, crazy thing. It is one little thing. It is one little instance. And could I possibly be making it into something a little bit bigger than it was?
Yeah. Let's zoom out for a second. Yeah.
In fact, I was. I was turning it into something real big when it wasn't. And I was in it. I was like, oh, now I am pissed. Now I am resentful. There will be consequences this weekend. I just need you to know. You know, I was in it. I was sold. I was down the river. And I sat back and I'm just like, Shannon, like, what are you doing? Like, back up. Like, it was one instance. It was a notice. It was just a, here's a little something. And you are blowing it fully out of proportion, right?
Yeah.
But that's really easy for us to do because we're juggling those 19 plates that we were talking about. And so something so tiny and so simple that is brought up, whether it's brought up something you didn't do, something you forgot, something maybe you didn't do perfectly, like, it seems like the end of the world because of everything that we have going on.
It's just that last little straw on your back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think if all it takes is me asking for help to prevent resentment in my household, then I do feel like that's part of my responsibility.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. And it, there's a level of training and a level of expectation that you can bring to your family, whether that's your children or your partner or whoever, right? We can all pitch in and we can learn how to do this, but there is a certain freeing aspect or a self-awareness epiphany that we can have when you just ask, just be direct. My boys, if I ask them to do anything, they might roll their eyes a little bit. They might be a little slow to get off the couch, but they'll always do it. They do it. Mm-hmm. They do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, it's okay. It's okay to do that. I know it's annoying sometimes to have to ask, but we have to
do
it.
And that goes for your spouses also.
Yeah.
Let's just throw that out there. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it can go the other way too. If they mm-hmm. need something, it's okay for, you know, if they ask you, most of the time, 99% of the time, if Doug asks me to do something, I am on board. Like it's yep. not a problem. I just didn't realize it or I wasn't focused on that thing. Mm-hmm. And it can go the other way too. So we just have to, especially with teenagers. Oh man, I love those boys, but they are not observant creatures. They're just not.
No.
I don't know.
And
I
think they aren't always as grown-ups either. No, so sometimes
they're just
we
not.
Have to. And I'm not always like,
no.
quite honestly, I get so wrapped up in all of the things that I have to do that I miss things.
It's tunnel
right?
vision. Yeah.
So it is. And I find myself there quite often because there's just so many things that are going on. And so sometimes I might need a reminder that I received, that I then blew out of proportion, that I then became self-aware of, that I dialed back. You know? We're just always learning.
That's great.
Always
That's a good way to put it.
You know,
we are.
Always a student.
Are. Yeah. So Maya's going to college soon. You're working on
Don't
trying to get
me.
More help in your home that is not Jay or your cousin.
Yes.
And we would love maybe as things are getting closer. I know this fall is going to be an emotional time for you guys. It's going to be a period of an adjustment. Might mm-hmm. be a little rocky for a little while,
mm-hmm.
but we definitely want to hear more about how that's going. And I think in an ideal world, right, we're going to have multiple avenues. We always talk about diversifying our portfolios, right? And one of those ways we can do that is with friendships, and it also is with our helpers, right? Our mm-hmm. our respite care, our network of people that we feel comfortable bringing in when we need mm-hmm. assistance. And that's great that you're working on getting this neighbor to come help. Wonderful. May I say from an outsider looking in, and you can bring it right back to me too, like tell me what I need to do. I am opening myself up to that 100%. But you need to have more than just that one person, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm going to like round
point.
Up all the neighbor. Okay. So here's the thing. At work, we have what's called click to claim leads, right? Like leads will come in, they blast out to the whole team's phone and whoever clicks them first gets it, right?
Yeah.
My plan is I'm going to have a click to claim network of babysitters. And when I need a babysitter, I'm going to send it out there.
You're gonna blast it.
Like whoever claims it first gets the job. Like ideally, that's where I'm going to be. I have a whole process set up in my head now. You know,
you got to find a carrot to dangle in front of them, though.
Ask me. Yeah, it's called $15 an hour to watch my kid play on an iPad. That's my carrot. But yeah, I mean, definitely we need more than one. But, you know, we're starting slow. I'm trying to meet a lot more people in this neighborhood. I'm trying to befriend a lot more people in this neighborhood than we did at our last one. And I mean, so far it's going well.
You're making a really concerted, like intentional effort to do that.
Dude.
You've been doing that since day one.
Dude.
And that is so, it's hard to do that, especially if that's not your natural personality. You're mm-hmm. you're pretty outgoing and bubbly.
I am. Natural.
You are. So that's
I'm
a strength.
Talker.
You are. Mm-hmm. And that's a strength in your, you know, arsenal to do this. Mm-hmm. But even if you're not, I am not that way, but we have to do that. You're not going to be able to make this community or build this, you know, this arsenal or that list of people to call if you don't know people.
Yep.
it's just simple math.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, It was me going out of my comfort zone, especially with allowing people in to Gracie, because that's like my, like, there's the locked gate that comes down.
Right.
And unless you're
your most precious thing.
Allowed. Yeah, yeah. You're not allowed. And so I've had to be a little bit vulnerable, right, when it comes to that. And I've had to go out of my way. And I've had, for me, like, time is my greatest, like, I can't buy more time. I only have the time that I have. And I'm real freaking busy. And I have had to use some of that, you know, finite resource of time to get to know some of these humans. That said, I've met some really great humans in this neighborhood.
Yeah, it's not just because we were like, great, I'm recruiting you and you and you and you. And that's the only thing you want. I mean, we want friends too.
Yes, absolutely.
It goes both ways. But yeah, yes. In context of this discussion, it's about having people to call and feeling comfortable, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or just having people to look out.
Yes.
Having even good humans in my hood.
Aware of the situation.
No Gracie and look out. Yeah.
And will feel comfortable calling you or realizing maybe, this doesn't look mm-hmm. right.
Yeah. I mean, I had to call a neighbor the other day because two door knockers got stuck in my
It's hilarious,
courtyard.
You guys. So funny.
I had to call a neighbor and say, I have two old lady door knockers stuck in the courtyard of my house. Could you do me a little favor? And luckily they got out. We were not holding anyone hostage for long.
The door locked on them.
My gate somehow locked on them and they were stuck in here and it was a horrifying situation. And no one was home. But like, had I not done a little bit of that work, I would have had nobody to call. Like, I had three people immediately that I'm like, I know they can run over there if they need to. Yeah. Right.
It's just a little mini example, right?
Blessings everywhere. And it had nothing to do with Gracie.
Right. Right. But it can be applied.
No one will ever knock on my door ever again.
That sounds kind of amazing, actually.
Perfect. It's perfect. I'm going to put a sign up that is like, we will hold you hostage if you try to knock on our doors.
Don't solicit here, please. Yeah.
Don't solicit here. We will hold you hostage. Yes.
Oh. Well, is there anything that you would like to say to our audience about asking for help in particular? Is there something that maybe we haven't covered or that you feel applies to you or that maybe, you want to say?
No, look, I mean, I am not a professional at asking for help. I still don't like asking for help.
It's like eating your vegetables.
I don't do that either. I mean, exactly. I do sometimes. I'm not good at it. I don't love it. I just think that we have to remember that we can't be resentful for no one helping us if we're not willing to get uncomfortable asking.
Amen.
You have to be willing to ask. And then if they say no, then you can get resentful afterwards.
We'll give you full permission.
But yeah, like it's just one of those things where sometimes you got to get a little outside your comfort zone. And I think that's just the biggest thing that's hit home here is I can't be resentful if I'm not willing to ask.
Yeah. No one likes to squirm in their seat and feel that.
Resentment is like the worst feeling, isn't it?
It is.
Quite honestly, it is a horrible, horrible feeling.
I'd rather be uncomfortable asking someone for help than resent someone. So pick your poison, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. Right? Pick your poison.
Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing some of your struggles and your personal stories with us today about this.
I'm here for it. I like to talk about all the uncomfortable things.
Do you? Well, I'll keep that in mind for next time.
But I will.
It is. It's good for us to do this, not only for us personally, but for you to maybe hear some other perspectives. I know not all of these situations are going to apply to everyone, but I hope there's something, some piece in here that resonates with you or that maybe helps you maybe understand someone else a little bit better. And this, I think all of this applies to not only neurodivergent families like ours, autism families, mm-hmm. but just parents in general. Like,
yeah,
this is all applicable. It's just maybe at a slightly heightened level or very heightened level for some of us. So Anyway, yeah. We hope you have a wonderful day today. Please follow us at Moms Talk Autism on Instagram and other social media. Our website is momstalkautism.com. And we would love to have a review from you for the podcast. When we get reviews, the algorithms that we did not make up and have no control over, speaking of control, bump up things, you know, higher. It will show up in other people's feeds when they're searching for autism parenting stuff if we have more reviews and more likes. So that's why we ask for them. And because who doesn't want to hear, you know, a 5-star review or read a 5-star review? We do. We love them. They're great. We try to read all of them. So have a wonderful day, everyone. Ask for help. Look around you. Baby steps. Even if it's just networking around in your neighborhood, it's a place to start. So we will talk to you guys again soon.
Catch you later, guys.